Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up on iPad Today, bookmarks are not dead. In fact, we're going to show you a few of our Safari favorites.
Plus, Shadowgun is alive, the Kindle's on fire, and Quora goes iOS.
All that and what to expect from Apple's big announcement next week on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMyPC. Download the free GoToMyPC app and work from anywhere, anytime, right from your iPad. Visit GoToMyPC.com for your free 30-day trial and use the promo code iPad. And by Gazelle, the easy way to sell or recycle the used gadgets lying around your home or office. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it. Gazelle your used gadgets today at Gazelle.com. And by Slingbox, which just turned your iPad into a television. Slingbox introduces their new iPad app, so now you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you take it. Check it out at Best Buy or Slingbox.com.
Whoa, how'd you do that? It's like magic. It's like you're the hand of God.
The magic of multitouch. Did you see that Apple tried to trademark the word multitouch? They tried the day they shipped the iPhone in 2007.
Yeah.
Capital M, capital T with a dash, and they were turned down.
Well, and rightly so.
Because it's kind of generic.
Multitouch? That's like saying, I'm going to patent multitasking. Nobody else can do that unless you pay me.
Like saying, I'm going to patent pod.
You got two tabs open. That's multitasking. Pay me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's somebody with a patent. I'm sure there's somebody with a patent for that. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to iPad Today. I am Sarah Lane.
I'm Leo Laporte.
And we are going to cover the iPad in all its glory today.
That's right. It's a glorious thing. In fact, what?
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 I was just going to say that in the chat room today is our iPad winner from last week in the Citrix iPad contest. And he was asking us if we've ever done a show on must-have, because it's his first iPad, must-have iPad apps.
We've done...
Christmas was.
Yeah, our end of the year episode from the end of 2010 was a, here are our favorites since the show started. At that point, we had only been doing the show for about 6 months, and we were still on our first-gen iPad. So
Could we do that in the next couple of weeks? Just like, this is,
absolutely.
These are the five or six or whatever that, you know, if you have an iPad, you ought to have these.
Well, you know, when iOS 5 rolls out, that could be a really good timing for, like, now that things are a little bit different and we're up to speed, it's not just for developers anymore, we can talk about the must-haves.
And we can also do one that takes advantage of iOS 5 because there'll be some new features.
Exactly, because we've talked about it, but not in the way where nobody really has access yet.
Well, we'll know October 4th. That's this coming Tuesday. That's Apple's big announcement.
Mm-hmm.
I am sure they're not announcing new iPads for you iPad fans,
yeah,
but there will be new iPhones and, of course, iOS 5, which will change your iPads.
There's the persistent rumor that they might be updating iPads with better resolution, but I don't even think they would bother.
No. I think they'll wait till next
year. Yeah. I think it's going to be all iPhone. That's why we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show.
So what's our theme of the week?
Theme of the week is bookmarks and bookmarklets.
Oh, come on. You can't do a whole show.
Well, we have other things to talk about in the show. A lot of stuff that will probably get killed halfway through.
We're cutting stuff right now. It's so long.
We've already cut out a really cute kitty from the show. I'm sorry. Kitty had to go.
You know I love kitties.
I know. Well, wait a second. You were about to trick me there. I'm listening to you, Laporte. That's a lie. Damn lie. But no, last week somebody had, did they write in or it was a video or something. What about Safari bookmarks? And I thought, actually, they aren't that intuitive because Safari doesn't give you a really great way to add bookmarks because we're used to dragging and dropping from our browsers into like our bookmarks bar, which is underneath the address bar. Doesn't work like that on an iPad.
No, it does not. But there is a way to do it.
Yeah. You just kind of have to hack around. Do you want to talk about your Flipboard bookmark before
now,
I get into
it? My hack does not involve a bookmarklet on Safari. So you're going to do some... You're going to first show us how the trick to make bookmarklets in Safari.
Right.
That is JavaScript bookmarks that do something more than just simply take you to a page.
Right.
But I have a hack
that counts as well. And I showed it on MacBreak Weekly the other day, and people said, well, how, what are you doing? That's what? So let me show it again in more detail. I use Flipboard. I think we all love Flipboard. This is the great application that takes Twitter feeds and turns them into a beautiful magazine. But there's a real negative to Flipboard. And, I would love to use Flipboard as my way of keeping up with tech, because I have to do a lot of tech reading. But here's the problem. With Flipboard, the sharing features are very limited. If I click the share button and go to share link, basically I could tweet it and nothing else. I could email it. I could read it later. That's nice. View on web, flag is appropriate. Basically, that's how you share stuff on here, is you tweet it. So, and that makes sense because, after all these are tweet links.
Right.
But I want to put them on Delicious or Pinboard, somewhere where I keep track of stuff for shows like this. Mm-hmm. I'm always bookmarking stories. In fact, you know, when Delicious got sold by Yahoo, I went to pinboard.in. That's my recommended bookmarking system, if you want to use a bookmarking system online. Chad Hurley, the YouTube guys bought Delicious, and they've relaunched it, and it might be something good again. But until then, I use Pinboard. One of the nice features about Pinboard, and this got me thinking, is it will look at your Twitter feed and take all the bookmarks that come out of it and add it to your Pinboard. And I thought, maybe there's a way to do this. So this is exactly what I did. I created a special... Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chad.
Wow.
Gotta keep this show energy up.
Moving along. I created a special Twitter account, not my regular Twitter account. And you can see here in the accounts, you can add accounts. I have a Twitter account called links_4_twit. This is not my regular account. This is where anytime I like an article, all I have to do, let's say it's this article, is press the retweet button. Now, if I want to add a comment, I can, and I could put a hashtag in that'll say which show number, which show. Mm-hmm. But if I just press retweet, that's it. I have now shared it. Now, let me take you to Safari and show you what happens. This is Pinboard. I love Pinboard. If you've never used it, it's a very clean, simple bookmarking.
It looks like the old Delicious.
It's like Delicious. Yeah. These are all stories that, you know, Eileen, who produces many of our shows, Eileen Rivera, will go to this account and see what shows, stories I'm interested in. She'll bookmark ones. But if I go to the settings here and I click the Twitter tab, you'll see I can associate a Twitter account. Pinboard lets you import bookmarks from up to 3 Twitter accounts. And we never post to your Twitter stream. I like that, too. So these are automatically sucked into Pinboard and become part of my bookmarks. So just that's a kind of an obscure tip, but it just makes, for me, Flipboard much easier. Now, if you think people follow you, and I'm sure they do you, Sarah, for your links as much as anything else, it's a great thing to have in Flipboard. If you see something really cool, you share it immediately with your Twitter fans.
But you don't always want to do that.
But sometimes you don't. And yeah. In my case, if you follow Leo Laporte, I don't want it to be all tech news links. I want it to be a little bit about what I had for breakfast. So in that case, follow links_4_twit. It'll be all links all the time.
That's awesome. Good hack.
A little. It's not
a hack like you're not supposed to do it. It's just a way to get what you want.
Pinboard, by the way, and that's the other tip. But it's not free, but it has an interesting model. If you're not a Pinboard user, when you first go to Pinboard, you have to pay for it. Right now, it's $9.45. That's forever. And that's based on the number of people who use it. So that price continues to go up. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
Wow.
But there's a good reason for that. He says, I want to be able to support the servers. More people means more cost. So I charge you more as I get more users. That makes sense. That way I know they're not going to go out of business. I like that.
If you like the service enough, it makes perfect sense. You obviously have to be using it.
A lot of bookmarking services have gone under. Magnolia, for instance. Boom, gone.
I forgot about Magnolia.
And I didn't want to put my precious bookmarks anywhere that might disappear.
Exactly. Well, I like that. Instapaper, when you mentioned Read Later, that's where it would go. Instapaper, not to be confused with Read It Later, which is a similar service. They do very similar things.
Or on Lion. Lion has a Read It Later thing, too.
Right, yeah. Which it's funny. Marco Arment, who's the creator of Instapaper, said, because a lot of people are going, ooh, Apple's going to try to put Instapaper out of business. And he's like, no, this just justifies that people like this.
Right.
And I think he's doing fine.
Instapaper's fantastic. It's free, but there is an Instapaper app for the iPhone and the iPad. And I bought it. As we talked about this a few episodes ago. I bought it just to support him. Just say, Marco, I love you.
It used to be called Instapaper Pro, or it might still be called that, but there's no unpro version. I think it's 99 cents.
Worth it.
And you can donate to him via his
So let's say I wanted to, as I'm surfing, Instapaper long articles that I want to read later on the iPad in Instapaper.
Exactly. So the way Instapaper works is when you're looking at any site. So let me go and I'm looking at, this is an app that the creator of a blogging app had sent us. So I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is awesome. But I don't have time to read this right now. I want to read it later. Okay. So here in the upper left-hand corner, you see this little Instapaper read later bookmarklet. I click that. Anybody who's familiar with Instapaper goes, yeah, that's exactly how it works.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, what?
I don't have a bookmark bar on my Safari. How do you do that?
Oh, you have to go into your settings and enable show bookmark bar. Mm-hmm. In the Safari settings.
In the Safari settings.
Yeah.
In the iPad settings.
In the iPad settings, yeah. So there's a whole settings area for Safari. So if you go to, it's way up.
It's way down because I have a lot of apps.
No. It's above everything.
Oh, it's because it's Apple.
It's
That's
one of the
right.
big guys.
It's one of the big guys. Yeah. There it is.
There you go. Go ahead and always show bookmarks bar. There you go. So just click that on and you're good to go.
Thank you.
So yeah, so that's very important. Thank you. Step number one. But anybody who's familiar with Instapaper goes, yes, sir, that's exactly how it works. But the problem is, if we go back to my Instapaper, so this is, if you were looking at this on just a regular browser, not on your iPad, this happens a lot with sites where they'll say, here's a handy bookmarklet so that you can use our service quickly and easily. But what you do is you drag and drop up to your bookmarks bar, and you go, well, wait a second, this doesn't work on the iPad. It's not dragging and dropping it. I don't want to open that. How do I do this? Well, Marco has actually put together you could call it a hack. It's not really a hack. But he understands, hey, people don't know how to do this, and that's one of the best ways that Instapaper works. Because
that's cool,
you're surfing around.
He senses that you're on an iPad.
Exactly. He knows I'm on my iPad. And there's this really nice, handy little step-by-step tutorial where, and I won't go through all of the steps because there are a few steps, but in general, what you have to do is you have to create a bookmark. I called it Instapaper Read Later. That's what it's actually called by default. And then once you save it, you're saving it to this page, and that's not what you want to do. You need a special, it's like a JavaScript command. You go into your edit bookmark. So what I did was, okay, I've added a bookmark, right? So you've got a bookmark there. Once you go into your bookmarks, and by the way, if you add it to straight up bookmarks, it will not go to this bar. So you want to add a bookmark. Like if I was to add a new bookmark, here are bookmarks that, for variety, that are in my bookmarks, but they're not going to show up on the bar. So you want to add it to your bookmarks bar. Once you have that area, you can edit anything. So you can say Instapaper could go to Delicious's homepage if you want to. That would be confusing, but the point is that you have the power. And here's the power. So Instapaper Read It Later is what it's called. I could change that if I wanted to. I could call it just read. And then this is what Marco has told me in this little area here. What you want to do is copy and paste all of this code. Go into your bookmarks bar. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. Go into your bookmarks bar. Go into edit mode. It's an important step. And then I went ahead and copied and pasted that exact amount of code into the area, what it's associated with Instapaper. So as you can see, and then when you're done, and it works just fine. So I can go anywhere within to TechCrunch, for example. I was reading about Groupon last night. Groupon is a fascinatingly weird company these days.
Yes.
And then, if I'm like, hey, this looks awesome, but I just don't have time, once again, you go ahead, read it later, it's saving, and now it's saved into Instapaper. We have talked about Instapaper at quite a bit of length on previous shows. So if you're like, I don't even know how Instapaper works, we'll add a link to one of our previous shows where we show how it works in detail. So we don't spend too much time going through stuff that many of you have already learned. But anyway, the point of this was, you say, I don't know, it seems really cumbersome. And it is. Safari really doesn't make it easier, at least right now.
This is the only way to do it. It's very frustrating.
Yeah. At least right now, this is your only option. You mentioned Delicious earlier. And it's funny because now that Delicious has been taken over by the YouTube crew, YouTube founders crew, it's not part of YouTube, it looks a little bit different. They've got this new feature called Stacks. The whole thing is just, I'm sort of relearning Delicious, but I'm into it. I want to give it a chance because I've loved Delicious over the years. And I thought, well, this is actually the same sort of situation, because Delicious, anybody who uses Delicious or did heavily in the past knows that the bookmarklets are essential, because you're browsing around, you want to save stuff, you're bookmarking things that you might never see again. You don't want to keep tabs open. That's the whole beauty of Delicious. So you just click that little Save to Delicious bookmarklet and you're good to go. But when you're on your iPad, it's the same problem. How do you get that bookmarklet? Let me go to Delicious.
How does it look now? Oh, that kind of, you know, somewhat similar at the top, but now you see these images at the bottom. It's almost like Flipboard, isn't it?
Aren't you a little short for first number? Yeah, it's very Flipboardy.
You remind me a lot of Princess Leia.
That's what everybody says. Yeah. I know. I hope you mean like in Return of the Jedi days and not currently. Carrie Fisher.
The drunk.
No. Well, I think she's fine now.
She's sober. In fact, she does a one-woman show that's fantastic.
Wishful Drinking.
Wishful Drinking,
thank
which
you,
is
Tom.
Based on our book. No, you remind me of the princess. That's why I said, I didn't say Carrie Fisher. I said Princess Leia.
I know. No, I appreciate that.
If you
that,
had
yes.
buns on your head.
I know. I have heard this. I don't know.
It's not just me.
It's just one of those things. We've
I thought
got.
It was just me.
She must be Irish.
So
Delicious. They have some tutorials to let you add a bookmarklet, but they don't assume that anyone's ever on their iPad, right? So what I'm looking at in our view here, this is just the Safari version of Delicious on my iPad. This is not an app of any kind. And they don't help you create a bookmarklet, but there is somebody who does care. In fact, you alerted me to one.
Tim Bray.
Chris Bray. You were close.
Tim Bray's another guy.
Yeah. Chris Bray at chrisbray.com. We just sort of looked him up to see, has anybody ever talked about bookmarklets when the site doesn't actually provide you a nice tutorial? And he actually has.
This page is fairly old, so some of this stuff has changed a little bit. I noticed even the Instapaper, the controls looked different than modern iPad.
Right.
But this stuff still works. The JavaScript still works.
Completely works just fine. In fact, he has a long list at his website, Chad, I don't know if you can pull that up, of services where he said, this is so frustrating, so I'm just going to go through the hard work of making all these bookmarklets and then just let you guys choose which ones you're interested in. Are you able to get that website?
I'll pull it up.
Okay.
If you just Google Chris Bray, Bray, and bookmarklets.
There you go.
Bookmarklets. You'll find his article. And he has a list. First of all, he has the how-to, which is similar to what you just did for Instapaper. It's always the same idea. And then he has a list of... What are you looking at? Here we go. Here's a list of all the different bookmarklets he has here. Share on Postgres, shorten with Bitly, add to Google Reader, bookmark on Delicious. That's the one you were talking about.
Yeah.
There's Instapaper, Facebook, Evernote, Tumblr, Ping FM.
And these, are going to come in more and more handy when we transition. I'm not saying that apps are going to be any less popular. Of course, they're the beauty of iPads. But when we get into these like really nice HTML5 capable websites, we're going to be in Safari more. So this is the stuff that's going to come in handy, and I just wanted to say that I wasn't sure, since Delicious has changed hands as of late, if his Delicious hack still works.
I haven't tried it, but I would guess it does.
It does.
Yeah.
It completely does. In fact, if I go...
One thing that Chad and Steve are not going to do is change the API on Delicious, and that's really important.
Right. Not, oh my God, Chad. Chad Hurley.
No, Chad.
So if I'm at Ars Technica, I've went ahead and I followed Chris Bray's instructions. Save on Delicious. You can see that's one of my little options there. And it goes ahead and saves it for me. And this is, anybody again who knows Delicious knows that this is, I can now add it to a stack. I've made an iOS stack. Okay, I'll just go ahead and do that. And then you add tags. It suggests certain tags. Technology. This is Ars Technica.
Oh, that even works. That's
so,
nice.
So yeah, the whole thing works just great. And I go ahead and save it, and then that gets dumped into my Delicious links on Delicious itself. And as you can see, if you go to my links, that'll be the most recent one. So, indeed, it works. There you go. That's kind of a silly thing to link to.
So you understand what's happening is they're basically putting, instead of a URL in a bookmark, they're putting JavaScript. That way what makes a bookmark a bookmarklet.
Right.
And some people may say, well, that's risky to put JavaScript in, and I agree. But this Chris Bray site has been around for a while. As far as I know, this JavaScript is all fine. You can look at it. It's usually pretty straightforward.
It's really helpful. And yeah, I mean, you definitely don't want to be installing code that might be weird, but this is
there's a little risk stuff. Here, but if you look at the bookmarklets, they're all pretty clean. You can tell what it's doing. It's not going to be very elaborate, you know. So
yeah.
If you don't know what it's doing, don't
empty
install
B of A account.
Yeah.
You won't find that hidden anywhere
good.
In these codes.
In most cases, what these do is they simply call APIs on the website. There, some of them are simpler than others. Dig, it's very simple. It's just a fairly long URL that involves submit and then this information. So all they're doing is they're populating this URL with information from the page that you're on.
That's, you know, what we have to do in a future show is look at, I think there's a new Dig app. We really haven't talked about Dig much in a while lately. And it's changed somewhat, I know.
I haven't used it in ages.
I haven't either. Yeah. I haven't even gone to it in ages.
You know, I kind of blame myself. I have the shirt that says Dig 4 was my idea.
I wear it to the gym all the time. Kevin and I go to the same gym.
Yeah. You wear that? You wear that to the gym?
Yeah, it's a good gym shirt. And I'm just like, does sorry.
Kevin? It was my idea. I killed your company. I'm sorry.
It's funny because, well, it's not dead.
It's funny?
It's not dead.
Because it's true.
The company is alive and well.
And, yeah.
Well, it's alive.
It's alive.
And that's all I'm going
to
say about that.
I don't think they're doing that well, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't really know anybody who works there anymore besides Dan Heward. But he does.
He
so
stayed?
As long as I have a friend at Dig, I want Dig to succeed.
As long as Fufu's still there.
Right. Exactly. All right. So bookmarklets. Some of this may be the stuff might be, you might be seeing this sort of stuff for the first time. Some of you might say, oh, I love that delicious one.
This
all that
is
stuff.
A more advanced iPad user tip.
Yeah. And we didn't talk about apps just now at all. I mean, with the exception of Flipboard, we were sort of talking about how to get around the limitations of apps. So any of that confused you, we have links to everything in our show notes, twit.tv/IPT. It's not only where all of our show notes for all of our episodes are, but where our show archives themselves are, links to all of our feeds. If you want an audio feed of the show, you want to pretend like you're just closing your eyes, that's cool. We'll give that to you. But we also have a nice high-res version of the show,
look at
as
that.
Well as like a lower res, which is good for mobile.
We like it when you version watch. Of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very visual show.
I like to watch.
Yeah. Like, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
You can even embed the video now.
Watch embed?
Yeah.
That's good.
We can
it's very relaxing.
We can embed in bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just, you do what you want. We don't care.
Wow,
take your iPad with you everywhere.
They fancied this up.
They fancied this up. As you can see, we add all the links that we talk about in the show. Then we even have a show notes area, which is like a wiki. So if there's anything that you say, you know, I maybe went through Sarah's tutorial about bookmarking for Delicious, and here's maybe something you want to watch out for, that's the area where you can actually go ahead and add information that might be helpful to other members of the community. It's good stuff. It's a team effort here. You can see who our sponsors were and our app caps.
People want to know that, actually.
Yeah, no, it's everything is on our website, twit.tv/IPT. And a reminder, if you're not watching us live, it's fun to watch live. We've got our chatters. People are giving us hints and tips and tricks. And
laughing
and,
at us, mocking
and
us.
Mocking us relentlessly. And that's cool. That's what the show's about. Mm-hmm. Sort of. Thursdays, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 1:30 p.m. Pacific.
Poignantly.
Yes.
Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
This show brought to you by the folks at Citrix. Go to mypc.com. We gave away the iPad last week. You probably saw that. And I think it was Chris.
Chad Wolf.
Chad, that's right. Who was in our chat room. C. Wolf.
Congratulations
really
to Chad. In fact,
won.
He even tweeted. I'll pull up the tweet right now. He said... He's very excited because remember we said that he won last week and then we're like, how does he get it? Well, Citrix got it to him and he said, got my iPad too thanks to Citrix. Leo Laporte, Sarah Lane already installed Go to My PC and I love it. Happy dance.
Isn't that great?
Isn't that great?
We're happy for you, Chris.
We are.
Now,
Chad.
For the rest of you.
Name is Chad.
Chad. I don't know who Chris is.
Nah. He's
for the rest of you who.
I don't either.
I keep saying that name. For the rest of you who have not tried Go to My PC on your iPad, you got to do it. Now, first of all, of course, you want to put it on your desktop. That's Mac or PC. Think about what desktop you'd like to access remotely. Often it's your office, but it could be your home computer. So go there. Go to the website. GoToMyPC.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the offer code iPad. That'll get you 30 days absolutely free. 30 days absolutely free. Now, that means you can, you know, go on the road. If you're going on vacation soon, this would be a great thing to do before you go. If you want to leave work early, spend time at home, but you need to check up on what's going on or maybe make sure you clear your inbox before you get back in the next day, this is a great way to do it. Go to mypc.com, download the app. Now, take your iPad and go to the App Store and get the free app for it. Go to My PC app for it. You can access, this is so cool, your office computer, your home, whichever computer you put it on, from your iPad, Mac or Windows. It'll pop up a keyboard when you need to type. It'll give you mouse control. You can run any program, access any network resource. You can even send and receive email. And you know what? The boss won't know you didn't send it from work. It's just as if you were using the work computer. A great way to safe surfly. Or is it surf safely?
I think either way. Yeah. First advice.
If you want to safe surfly at a coffee shop, use this and you'll be surfing back to using your office computer. So it's kind of like a VPN too. Look at that. Isn't that cool?
Play hooky with the help of GoToMyPC.
Try it free today. GoToMyPC.com. Click the try it free button. Use the offer code iPad. Sarah?
So, Leo, I noticed that you had something in your pocket. And I didn't want to be rude and be like, take out whatever's in your pocket, but I just can't help myself. What is it?
What could be in my pocket?
I don't know.
Look at this. This is the new Kindle, believe it or not. Look how small that is.
It's a tiny little guy.
This is the, you know, there's now four Kindles. This is the cheapest one. $79 with the offers. It's $109 if you don't want ads, but you know what? Get the ads. They're not annoying. You notice that
I don't even see it.
You don't even see it. If I turn it off again, you'll see that's an ad. Instead of the old, remember they used to have the graphic etchings, like the Durer etchings on there. Instead, it's got an ad. It says, power up for less, save 50% on a Kindle Power.
I know it's an ad, but it's stuff where you might be like, that's actually pretty helpful.
Yeah. And then there's the same ad, or it can be different down here. Mm-hmm. But this is all the same. And once you get into a book, I'll do a book here.
Then the ads aren't popping up.
The ads don't pop up at all.
You're active at that point.
And it's just like the old Kindle. In fact, this is basically the same size screen. They just got rid of the keyboard. So there is still a Kindle with keyboard. Mm-hmm. There's also the Kindle Touch. This is not touch. So you have the buttons on either side, just as you did with the old Kindle. You have the navigation here. The only thing you're going to miss is the keyboard, and I never use the keyboard.
I don't actually like the Kindle keyboard.
No, it's a pain. It's slow.
It just doesn't work for me.
I just think it's really cool. And in fact, I bought this. I didn't even buy a case for it because I think it's just so compact. Now I can carry all my books around with me.
It's
and
beautiful.
Read them. Page turn is the same. I think it's functionally and internally the same. This, of course, was announced, believe it or not, yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And you got it today because you got overnight shipping.
I got overnight shipping. Now, this is the only one that's available right now. The Kindle Touch is coming soon. And then in about 6 weeks, we're going to see the Kindle Fire. And that's really the story for us on iPad Today.
Some of you might be like, why are we covering Kindles on iPad Day? The reason that I like this guy is this is the device that you can take out into a sunny rooftop deck, for example, where we all know the iPad just does not work well that way. This is the companion to the iPad.
I truly thought the iPad would replace the Kindle. I thought it would put Amazon out of business. And even I still have a Kindle as well as an iPad, depending on condition. At the beach, I bring this.
Absolutely.
Inside, in fact, in bed at night, I read it on the iPad. Now, one advantage this has is it's very much lighter and thinner and smaller than an iPad. That's not going to be true on the Kindle Fire. It's a 7-incher, not quite as big as the iPad, but it weighs almost as much. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an easy, light thing to hold.
So the Fire, I'm very excited to play around with it. It looks great. I really have nothing bad to say about it, but for anybody who has an iPad, I don't see it as being even in the same, I don't know. They're not on level playing fields as far as iPad killers go.
I don't think it's an iPad killer, but I would guess that, in fact, I said this yesterday during the launch, about a third of the iPad owners are good candidates for the Fire instead. Remember, it's less
cheap
than half as much.
$200.
$200. And if you don't use the iPad, it doesn't have a GPS. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have a camera. It doesn't have 3G. It's Wi-Fi only. It isn't a full computer in the way that the iPad is. But if you use the iPad mostly to surf, read, send email, that kind of thing.
And a few apps, maybe some games.
And some basic games. It's got Plants vs. Zombies and Angry Birds and all that stuff. I think this is actually, at the price point that they're selling it, may take a slice of sales from the iPad. Now, I was wrong last time, but I think this time, I think it might take a little slice, especially if what you mostly do is read. I mean, magazines on this are going to be great. Books on this are going to be great. And you see, it's smaller than an iPad.
It is. And it doesn't rotate. I mean, when you're in your home view, you've got to be in portrait mode. Landscape mode is just when you launch particular games or videos, that sort of thing. So it's a little bit more limited. But then again, I totally agree with you that there are a lot of people who aren't like us. I mean, they're not downloading apps all week, every week. I mean, we go through so many apps on the show that I feel like, well, why wouldn't you download, I mean, at least have like 100 apps on your iPad because you can, but people don't necessarily use all that stuff.
There's another thing it does that the iPad does not do. It does Flash.
That is correct.
And apparently does it quite well. They've created a new browser called Silk. It's based on WebKit, just as the Safari browser is. But Silk uses Amazon's own servers to speed up browsing. Pages are cached on Amazon servers. They're preloaded. They know in many cases that people go to this page, almost 90% go to the next page, so they'll preload that second page. So this, we haven't seen it yet, but my suspicion is that the surfing experience on the Fire will be very
rocket
good.
Fast. Well, yeah. Amazon happens to host a lot of the services that we
they
use.
They won't even
on the
have
internet.
To cache it. It's yeah. right there already. And with Flash, I mean, if there are people who bought tablets from other companies because they wanted Flash, and that's another group this will serve. It is almost identical to the BlackBerry Playbook, which was recently discontinued. I think today or yesterday, BlackBerry has announced they're not
going to make it. The hardware-based, yeah. People keep saying, I mean, they're identical looking.
Yeah, the hardware is very similar. Not the same operating system. It's Android, heavily customized. I think this is, to be honest, if somebody calls and says, should I get the iPad, I'm going to ask them some specific questions.
What's your budget?
Budget.
What do you want to do?
Usage. And if your use case is you simply want to read maybe a little email, a little light surfing, this might be a better choice for you. By the way, media, this should be great for watching TV and movies. It's got 1080p capability.
It's a little small for me, but there is going to be a 10-inch version coming out early next year, so we hear. I would be more interested in that. But that's also why I didn't like the smaller Galaxy Tab. I
right.
mean, I just, it's
the
it
same
just,
size
it
that.
Feels, it's definitely more portable,
yeah.
but it feels like in a weird, in the middle between
right.
phone and tablet. That's just me. Some people love the size. All right. So that's the, I love this guy. This guy is.
For $79?
For just reading and being able to read in bright places. And being able that's to put in cool. Leo's pocket, which it actually does
do
fit.
I have extra big pockets?
No,
I think I have normal.
You have normal pockets.
It's a normal breast pocket.
It's a normal,
or
that's
if
awesome.
It's a jacket pocket or your purse. These screens are LCD screens, as Liz Lemon has learned, and they do break. She broke hers yesterday.
Oh.
So, well, that's all right. I gave her
a carpet in a case.
It dropped on a carpet in a case and still broke. So don't
so
treat these like they're not.
Careful. Make sure your pockets don't have holes in them before you start walking around with your protector.
And don't try to stop a bullet with these.
No.
No.
Don't be in the line of bullets.
Oh,
is a better,
by the way,
maybe.
Audible fans, yes, Audible automatically will sync to these and play back.
Oh, that's sweet.
So there is, I don't know how much, the Fire has 8 gigabytes. I think there's enough for quite a few Audible books on this, several anyway.
Yeah. Well,
wouldn't
they don't
that be
take
awesome?
That much
no, they're only 100 megabytes yeah. an hour per book.
But enough about Amazon. My goodness, where are we? Let's
what
talk a, about
what
Apple.
What show is this? Yeah.
We're so we talked a little bit about the fact that Apple's going to have an event next Tuesday. It starts at 10 a.m. Pacific.
We will be covering that live.
We will. I think 10-4 is some sort of reference to voice
October
commands.
October 4th.
Well,
October
that too.
4th.
That too.
Oh, you think that that's why they're doing it on 10-4?
Yeah.
You do?
Well.
You think there'll be a ham radio in the next one?
I think that, well, there are rumors that
CD?
Voice commands are coming to the iPhone.
We've heard some very interesting things about what they're calling Assistant. Remember, Apple bought a company called Siri
yes.
more than a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Siri, and I don't think you can still get it, but if you have it on your iPhone, you were able to say things like, book me dinner for two at La Ronde mm-hmm. At 7 p.m., and it would actually do it.
Right.
It was an amazing command system. Well, they apparently have incorporated this into the new iOS 5. It will not work on the older iPhones. My suspicion is it will not work on an iPad as well, but I don't know yet. We won't know until, of course, October 4th. They say that the new iPhone is going to have a gigabyte of RAM and dual-core processors. It's going to be very fast, and that's the kind of thing you need for good voice recognition. The other thing that it'll do differently from Siri is it'll say, Sarah, did you mean for me to book a table for two at La Ronde at 7 p.m.? And you get to confirm it or change it. So it will interact with you very much like HAL 9000.
When I say, no, I meant round table.
Yeah. It'll say, oh.
What kind of person do you think I am?
You really think you should be getting those carbs? It'll be talking back to you.
No.
No, it won't be doing that. But it will be very capable. Now, Android has had a feature like this for some time where I can say, you know, listen to Bob Dylan, and it will play Bob Dylan music.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a first, I think, for the iPhone. It remains to be seen whether we'll get this on the iPad.
Yeah.
We're going to get iOS 5.
That'd be great. I want to start talking to my iPad a lot more often. iOS 5, which we should, once we know more about, once the announcement's over, maybe next, on the next episode, we'll do a night. Well, we'll have to obviously talk about
we'll
what
do
happened.
A rundown.
But we
you
can
bet.
Do more of an iOS 5 rundown based on on what we know. Also, Facebook,
chat room, by the way,
iPad app.
Oh, yeah. Just quickly, okay. Chat room is saying Siri is still in the App Store.
It's not that it's not available. It's just that Apple, it's expected to be integrated.
Actually, updated October 26, 2010, so it's only a year out of date.
Yeah.
But if you want to play with it, it is an iPhone app, but it works fine on the iPad.
Yeah. The whole point is that you wouldn't actually be launching in a separate app.
No.
It would be built into the settings of the iPhone itself.
So, Facebook app. You think?
It sounds pretty solid.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you have an inside track with that guy friend.
No. Don't make it sound like I have insider information. I read everything just like you do. I don't even talk to him.
See, I'm thinking it sounds less solid after reading all. So here's what we think we know.
Okay.
There has definitely been an iPad app for Facebook since May.
In fact, the developer said it was done. It was feature perfect.
He quit Facebook because they wouldn't release it.
And he went to Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we know that's for a fact.
Yes.
I think that's a given. The question is, why hasn't Facebook released it? It's my opinion that Facebook and Apple are kind of in a little bit of a negotiation battle. We heard a rumor that one of the reasons Facebook didn't get incorporated into Ping as it had been shown to be. You know, when Steve Jobs did the demo, Facebook was part of Apple's iTunes Ping social network. And when it arrived, no Facebook. And the story goes that Mark Zuckerberg said, no problem, Steve, we'll be glad to do that as long as you give us all the information from your users. And Jobs said no. Remember, Jobs said the problem with Facebook was their onerous terms. He did say that. So I think that makes sense. I think those negotiations continue. I think that Facebook was a little miffed that iOS 5 incorporates Twitter so fully, right? Twitter's everywhere in iOS 5.
That was, again, it was rumored that Facebook would have that functionality as well. And, you know, I don't know if they originally wanted to have both of them incorporated into iOS 5, but now it's just Twitter.
I wish it would both, because I really, especially with a new Facebook, I think that's really something desirable. But we don't know who's, you know, the problem here. Is it Facebook? Is it Apple? We don't know. I would guess that Apple is defending us against Facebook and what they want to know about us. And if that's the case, Apple, keep fighting the good fight. I'd rather have privacy than have Facebook. But we don't know. And I think it's probably too late to put Facebook into iOS 5 unless they've got some super secret release that they haven't shown.
But if there was an amazing Facebook iPad app that finally we could make use of that also took into account the new timeline views that Facebook announced last week at F8, I would be a happy camper because, as we've talked about countless times on the show before, there is no Facebook app. There are third-party apps, and many of them work just fine, although they constantly have to be updated to keep up with Facebook changing things.
I bet you don't use a third-party app. I bet you use Safari.
I used Friendly for a while.
Me too.
And finally I was like, it's not quite right.
Especially as Facebook changes. You know, the timeline won't show up in these apps. They'll have to be completely updated,
totally,
right?
Totally, yeah. So I would like it. It works fine in Safari, yes. But there's something about a really well-designed iPad app, as we all know, that can make a service a lot more fun to use. And I think Facebook is in a perfect position right now to just wow us. Like, not only are we changing everything, and there's these fancy new timelines and everything, we're going to follow your life since birth to death, but you can do it on iPad.
You turned on the timeline, I noticed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So did I. We did that developer hack.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of sweet.
I love it. I mean, I don't know if the shine will wear off in a couple of weeks, because sometimes that happens. But I'm on Facebook all the time, and you had to, like, twist my arm to get me to even upload anything to Facebook just a few weeks ago. I was so over it. So
me too.
It's renewed my faith.
Me too. It changed my mind completely about Facebook, the new timeline. Oh, that's interesting. It's not showing up on here. I have to log in with, there's a special command to turn it on. This is the old Facebook profile.
You know what I think? I had heard another developer complain that once you have it, once you flip the switch on the new timeline, when you then access your profile from another device, it reverts back.
Yeah,
then you have to go through those steps again.
No, you do not.
Oh, you don't?
I believe there's a special login. Let's see if I can remember what it is. That's not it. But it was something like ?SK equals timeline that would turn it back on.
Best of luck with all that.
Yeah, I'll find it.
In the meantime, you've been playing with a new game, and you said that the graphics are just peachy.
This is called Shadow Gun from Madfinger. It's the Unity engine, which is an interesting story. Unity is a gaming engine designed, as you might guess from the name, to run on a variety of platforms. If you like first-person shooters, I got to warn you, this is maybe some graphic violence coming up here, but if you like first-person shooters, you're going to very much want to look at this. Remind me a little bit of Gears of War 3, which just came out.
That didn't go well.
John, are
this
you there?
This is the cutscene.
Yes, I am. The module's destroyed. You picking anything up on your skin?
And there's a storyline here, but you're basically a... It's the same storyline since Time Ever After. You're a space marine, and you got to kill stuff.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of other games. Except this one's in space.
So I always
Wasn't
have trouble.
Like a Call of Duty in space.
Call of Duty in space.
No, I'm thinking of something else. What was that one?
So
I don't know.
You get the idea. I'm not going to play this too long, but you can interact with the objects in the world.
Halo. That was the one I'm thinking
Halo.
Of. Thank you,
well, Jayco. We did show that. Proceed to the control panel near the lasers. Let's find that. Anyway, you get the idea.
The idea is that if you like these sort of games, this is a really good looking one, and people
nice
have been excited about it.
Yeah, yeah, very exciting.
Yeah.
Proceed to control panel. I'm trying to find you. Where are you, control panel?
Well, while you're busy playing Shadowgun, I've been busy trying to figure out what this whole Wall Street Journal Live app is all about.
Well, it looks like Wall Street Journal's getting into the TV business.
It does, yeah. In fact, if I go ahead and launch this, it gives me a nice little launch page, and they've got, obviously, some sponsorships here. But the whole idea is that it is... Wall Street Journal video. Now, this is kind of cool because when I looked at this morning, I just got a bunch of archived videos. This is actually something that they're shooting live or live-ish, live to us right now on the app, which is somewhat reminiscent of Twit, I must say.
I know.
You've got somebody in the studio. You've got somebody on a Skype connection or something equivalent. So it's like, okay, that's fine, great. But they have a variety of programs based on what you're interested in looking at. If I wanted to watch this 22-minute video about HP hiring a banker in a defense move, then there's a video on demand that gets pulled up. They have a few. There's an ad. So.
You know who this is aiming at is CNBC.
Yeah.
If you're in the financial community, you watch CNBC. It's on all day. And that's who this is exactly aimed at.
Well, the thing is, though, is that the problem with this, and I'm sure that they're going to try to rectify it eventually. So I'm looking at this is, I mean, this is, you, folks all, I mean, this looks pretty professional, but there is a certain kind of like laid back feeling that they're obviously going for, yeah. Where people are wearing the clothes that they wore to work anyway, yeah. And it looks like they're running a TriCaster or something like that.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's got the look, and I
so
guess
this
it's
is live
trying
now?
To. No, this is actually an archived video. What we were watching live a second ago was something else. But what's weird is that they're not live all the time.
Right.
So you can't actually just have it in the background all
you
day
mean
long.
They do reruns. Shame on them.
Well, I don't even think they're doing reruns. It just isn't live sometimes. Oh. When I launched it this morning, I was like, what's live? And there wasn't anything live. It was just a bunch of archived videos. So they're not actually at the Twit model
live-ish.
Just yet. They haven't figured that out. It's live-ish.
Live-ish.
But it's certainly interesting. I mean, if you're
it's
a Wall
free.
Street Journal reader.
It's
yeah.
ad supported. It's free.
Yeah. Which is, you can't say that for the Wall Street Journal itself.
I do think it's interesting that they use Skype. I mean, it looks very much like...
It's very Skype-y.
Like what we do, isn't it?
Yeah. It's our stuff looks a little bit better. Yeah. Oh, via Skype it says. Yeah. All right. So there you go. So that's what's live now, and you can. It's interesting. I mean, I the whole thing is like slightly weird to me, and it's not because it's not well done. It's just I'm trying to figure out what's Wall Street Journal doing here exactly. Are they just playing around and seeing what sticks? Is there going to become a Wall Street Journal cable network?
I think
Wall Street
smart.
Journal branded. I know News
I think
Corp
they're
has
smart.
Plenty of
I
stuff.
Think there's a future in this. Internet broadcasting.
It's worth if you like Wall Street Journal content, it's definitely worth looking into because it is, like Leo said, it's free. And you might, I don't know, see a columnist that you're like, oh, I always wonder
I'm
what they look
you,
like.
This is going right after CNBC. They want to do what CNBC or Bloomberg is another example of what Bloomberg.
Yeah,
does.
Very much a
and,
Bloomberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really quickly, this is not an iPad app. It's not a universal app. It is an iPhone app. But again, I think it's worth mentioning because it's pretty much mostly text. This is Quora. Quora now has an iOS app, it works perfectly fine on the iPad. Of course, it's an iPhone app that I've just blown up. But anybody who uses Quora knows that it's mostly questions and answers, and it's text, so it looks just fine.
We talked about a lot of notifications. We talked about FormSpring, which is also a Q&A site last week. How would you categorize?
Totally different animals.
Different.
FormSpring is a, you ask me a question, you can choose to ask me as Leo Laporte or ask me anonymously, okay. And I can choose to answer you if I want to. So I get questions that load up in my queue, and we kind of jokingly referred to it as a vanity project because some people use it for that, but it's like a...
So it's like Reddit, ask me anything, kind of.
You mean Tumblr. Does Reddit have
Reddit,
that too?
Reddit has a, you know, my name is Leo Laporte, I host Twit, ask me anything.
Oh. Yeah, Tumblr has a functionality like that too.
Yeah, okay.
Quora is a crowdsourced Q&A model. So you could say, and it's based on all sorts of things. There's geolocation that's built into it. Like, there are topics going on that relate to the area that we're in now. Like, I could follow questions that people have asked and answered. What is parking like in Petaluma, California? Where can I access free Wi-Fi in Petaluma? So I could either ask questions based on this location. By the way, location is just one example of a variety of topics that
That's
you
really
could get involved in.
Did you ask that question?
No, I didn't. I'm just looking at questions that people have asked nearby.
Around here. Wow.
And then someone has commented an answer. Where is the
Did somebody say sit in front of the Twit,
oh, somebody's following
the Twit Brick
the
House and you'll be able to...
One of the best bars in Petaluma.
This is interesting.
Well, no one's answering anything.
I get it now. I get it. That's very different than FormSpring.
Totally.
So this is where you can find answers about a location, for instance.
And the reason that Quora... Well, one of the reasons that Quora got a lot of attention early on was because high-profile people... We're using Quora, and someone says, like, so whatever happened at AOL, and Steve Case answers, you're like, wow, that's awesome. All of a sudden, and you don't, it's not just a one person answers and then the thread's done. Someone could say, you know, why are tech bloggers so pissy all the time? Why do they always have to fight with each other and make it about them? And all a bunch of tech bloggers might be like, listen, here's the deal. I got attacked first. And so it becomes more of a conversation. Quora is really great. It can be a time waster. But I love the fact that it's on the iPad. I certainly would rather use it on an iPad if I'm going to be typing out something than an iPhone. Yeah. iPhone's more mobile, but there you go. Quora is now available. And then finally, before we move on, I just wanted to mention that Skype has been updated and people are mad.
Skype.
Because now, if you're using any sort of free version, you will now see ads. That was inevitable, people.
Now, but
I don't know why you're so surprised.
When you see ads, do you see ads in the call or before a call?
Either.
You might see an ad in a call.
Yeah.
Like a little pop-up ad?
Yeah.
Well, that's annoying.
Well, it's annoying, but again, it's kind of a cool service.
It doesn't cost much to turn that off, though.
Right.
You just have to buy some credits.
Exactly.
Right.
Skype has a few tiers of membership subscriptions.
I love it how people get mad.
People get so mad.
Guy Kawasaki was talking about this yesterday. He said, it's a free service.
I know.
And you're mad?
Right.
You're putting ads on. It's a free service. You're getting free calls anywhere in the world. People are too young to remember that long distance used to be very expensive. Calling across the country used to be very expensive.
It's
free.
Anyway.
And it's got video.
If you hate ads.
Welcome to the future.
Right. Don't update. Don't update Skype ever.
That's a good point.
There you go.
There you go.
Sorry if you already did.
Hey, you know what else has ads?
What?
iPad Today.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I know.
We didn't have ads.
I need to eat my carbs.
Yeah. Get some carbs right now. We're going to talk about Gazelle. Gazelle.com.
You mean like that beast in Africa that runs around? Kind of gazelle?
Well, it's spelled the same way. Gazelle.com is a great way to recycle gadgets from your home, from your office. There it is, GAZELLE.com. When that new iPad comes along, you're going to want to take the old iPad and put it on Gazelle. Gazelle is great. You give it information about the device, its condition and so forth, and then they'll make an offer. iPhones between $122 and $163. The iPod Touch 4G, if you want to, you know, they are, I'm pretty sure, going to announce a new iPod Touch on Tuesday.
Ooh.
Get $107 for your 4G.
Amazing.
HTC Sensation 4G, $195. Droid Bionic, $290. The Kindle, want a new Kindle? For the Kindle 3, 3G plus Wi-Fi, $43. You're almost all the way to with a new Kindle. digital cameras, huge amounts. So here's what you do. Go to gazelle.com. They've got thousands of items in hundreds of categories. Enter in your item and get an offer. If it's something that doesn't work or is so old that it has no value, they'll also recycle it for you. Throw that in the box, too. They will give you a mailing label so you don't have to pay shipping. You send it to their Gazelle experts. Now, here's a nice thing. If it is an iPad or a device with data on it, they check it out. They wipe the personal data. They make it clean, all for free, and then they'll send you the check. Or, if you want, you can get a PayPal or Amazon or Walmart gift card. In fact, get the Amazon gift card. You get a 5% bonus.
Nice.
So if you're going to get a Kindle, that's the way to do it, right? Or, and I really like this, Gazelle will donate the value of your gadget to charity. You can even create a Gazelle page as a charity drive. Gazelle, it helps us feel better about our gadget habits. GAZELLE.com. Don't sell it. Gazelle it.
I bet most of you have about four old gadgets sitting in a drawer somewhere where collectively they could get you towards that new Kindle an iPad.
We have somebody in the chat room who actually paid her rent for a month with old gadgets.
Nice. Yeah. I love it.
I bet that's a lot of our viewers.
Oh, I'd need a lot of gadgets to pay my rent. San Francisco, man. It is bad out there for a renter these days.
You know, I bet you in that, you know, old whatever drawer that you throw stuff into or deposit, you probably have hundreds and hundreds of dollars, maybe thousands of dollars. The average Gazelle.
Between the two of us in our household, we've got thousands of dollars of gadgets.
Easily.
On Gazelle. I mean,
easily.
Discounted.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gazelle. So we got an email from Terry who says, I'm a lawyer. Even though I no longer appear in court, I give a lot of public presentations at conferences. Recently, I was asked to give a keynote, and I was asked to wrap up the conference, and so I had to include references to remarks from the speakers that had preceded me. Typically, I'd take notes on paper and, you know, hit chicken scratch at the podium and incorporate them into my prepared remarks, but I recently got an iPad, and while giving a speech, it was like a dream. I took notes during the other presentations. I modified my speech on the go. Everything was perfectly legible. It's not easy to lug a laptop into a lecture from the audience in this type of situation, and the iPad worked really well. Wonder whether or not you guys have ever done a show that discussed teleprompter apps. We haven't, but I have the teleprompter app for you, Terry, if you're not already using this, which I suspect you probably are because you sound like you know what you're doing. But anybody else who says, I mean, when we use the word teleprompter, people say, well, that's for TV people. What would I use that for?
Yeah, why would you
for?
Need it unless you're doing a show?
A speech, maybe. Some sort of a public speaking thing. You have to give a presentation, even if it's just bullet points.
Just put it on the podium and, you know.
Exactly.
It'll keep you pacing.
Teleprompt Plus is, in my opinion, the industry standard. It is $14.99, so it's a $15 commitment, but it's totally worth it if you're using any sort of if you're doing any sort of speech where obviously I don't have a teleprompter right now, so that's why I don't know what I'm talking about on a regular basis. This is awesome. Gettysburg Address, for example, this is actually something that's preloaded on this. So
47 years
right,
ago,
exactly. You know it.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation,
very
conceived
good.
In liberty, but dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
So let's say that I actually
now
wanted to
engaged.
To give this speech.
Look at this. This is cool.
This is, I mean, there you go. You just read it. Now, anybody who's unfamiliar with teleprompters, you might not realize that
can
you
can. Can I slow this down?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can do that on the fly. So you can go like more turtle or more rabbit.
Oh, I love that.
This is also stuff that you can all set beforehand, though. But if you were like, and by the way, this is actually Teleprompt Plus running on an iPad. You can run this on your Mac or on your iPhone, so you could be, you know, you could have like your iPhone in your lap and you could be slowing down on the fly as you go along. It's really cool. I don't want to spend too much time on this because I know that teleprompter apps don't apply to a lot of you, but as you can see in the settings, you can set the speed ahead of time. You can have a countdown that's, you know, I don't know, goes longer than 3 seconds. You can change the look of your text and your background. You can record yourself with the camera giving the speech.
Oh, that's good. I
could look back and be like, oh, my, you can see my eyes moving back and forth, because that's like a teleprompter trick that a lot of people have to, they, you know.
You know, I did, Ignite speech. You know, those, you have 20 slides and 15 seconds a slide, and you have to do it boom, 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 boom.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to practice it, and I could have really used that for getting the timing down, getting the Oh, that would have been. And recording it, see how I look doing it.
$15 is not much when you consider how much an actual teleprompter. I mean, we're looking into some right now at Twit. It's like they're really expensive. We should do things like this.
Because my mind is going.
Save ourselves.
Yeah.
Finally, video from Ian in Australia.
Yes.
An Australian Mets fan. He needs our help, so let's listen.
Hey, g'day, Sarah and Leo. Ian from Australia. And I'm just wondering about the best way to use an iPad in a business environment. We are wanting to deploy 10 to 12 iPads out in the field. It's a plumbing business. And our guys need to come into the office at the moment regularly to pick up job sheets, information about various occupational health and safety issues, procedures with regards to various equipment that needs to be regularly updated. And we think that using an iPad in the field might be the best way to do that, and also to save them coming back to the office and to drop off timesheets. So any suggestions that you could make, any apps that you could recommend, and the best way to deploy multiple iPads in a working environment would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ian. I feel like this is something that we should ask.
I don't know the answer.
I don't either, because we don't really do that here.
Yeah.
But I know many of you have. We heard about this when we first started the show. There were a lot of people who were flooding us with, like, we want to use this in business. We want to get rid of our desktop computers. And there have been a few of you who have written in the past letting us know how you're using iPads and what programs work best for you. So this is definitely a crowdsource answer. Please answer Ian if you think you know the way that his plumbing business should go iPad-wise. They say they want 10 to 12 iPads, but they don't even really know where to start software-wise, and they obviously have to keep track of inventory and timesheets and that sort of thing. So write us, and we will feature the best of the best next week. By the way, if you want to write us, our email address is iPadToday@twit.tv. Thank you so much for all the emails we get each week. We do read them all, even if we can't respond to them all or feature them on the show. Believe me, we are reading. You can also leave us a voicemail, 757-504-IPAD. That's our Google Voice number where you can leave us a voicemail or send us a video just like Ian did. It's always really fun to see you guys. It's like looking into a... I was going to say it's like looking into a mirror, but Ian and I look nothing alike. So it's like looking through a window and seeing the people on the other side of the camera.
Remove it from the list.
What are you doing?
I'm showing you.
What in the world are you doing?
View your document.
Easy sign. I really threw Chad. This is a this is one program I might recommend for him that lets you take, for instance, I know one of the things you'll do in plumbing is you'll make estimates. You can fill out these estimates. You can have your client sign the estimate.
Oh, cool.
This is actually something that I wanted to show you a couple of weeks ago. We ran out of time. One of the business productivity tools. This is a very handy tool for people who want to do that kind of thing. So if you're doing estimates, you have forms, and you're going to want your customers to sign forms, that kind of thing, this is called Easy Sign, and it's a really nice little program for that kind of thing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's at least one tip. The real issue that I don't know how you're going to do it is kind of synchronizing 15 or 16 iPads together. I don't know exactly how you would do that at all. That's something that probably Apple has a solution for, but I don't.
Right. Well, you could manage them within iTunes, but then it would be wiping data if they all had different data. If you always wanted to start them in the same place at the beginning of each day, that would be
option. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Interesting.
Easy sign. Maybe it drops. It's a start anyway.
Jacko says a Dropbox account, perhaps. You know, once iCloud... once we see iCloud, that may be a solution that'll work. We just have to see what iCloud will do.
Exactly.
Hey, I want to tell you a little bit about getting your home TV. You know, on your iPad. You know, the postseason baseball starting. I hate to miss those playoffs.
Giants.
We got a Phillies fan in studio.
Who's
going to be wanting to do this?
What
you do is you set up your home system, you know, with a Sling Box. So you can get that, by the way, at Best Buy or go to slingbox.com. And the Sling Box then connects up to your TV system, your satellite box, your cable box, your DVR, your DVD, whatever you've got, and to the internet. Now, it's actually taking your home theater system and putting it on the internet. You can log in with a computer, with a smartphone, or with an iPad, with the Sling Player mobile app on the iPad. And that is a truly amazing thing to do, because once you've got it all set up, you can be sitting at the ballpark and watching the game, watching the replays, or as often happens, you could be sitting somewhere you didn't want to be, like DMV, and you're watching. You can watch your. Here's all the DVR shows I can watch. I don't know why somebody keeps taping General Hospital on my Sling player. Once you start playing it, the quality is superb. So this is the Sling player app on your iPad. Oh, the TV's off. All right. Well, I could turn this on, but I'm not going to mess around with this. You have this on your iPad, or you do it on your PC. No additional charge. You're already paying for the baseball game, your television packages, all of that stuff. Slingbox just makes it capable to put it everywhere. Check it out at Best Buy or slingbox.com. Watch your TV on your iPad and other mobile devices easily with your Slingbox. I love it. Check it out.
And now, time for the moment you've all been waiting for.
Just call me Louie.
Yaman.
Yeah, Yaman.
Yeah, you look good in that.
You look really good in that. It's AppCap time. This is where we give our AppCap awards for our favorite new apps of the week.
While wearing AppCaps. I happen to have dreads.
You look
attached
good.
Attached to my cap this week. Thank you.
You look good. Now I understand your color combinations, your choices for your outfit today.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to match my app cap. No, this is good. I've actually never worn this before. I've always been a little scared. I'm not sure it's the best look for me, but I'm going for it. I'm feeling good. Yeah, so this is my app cap that you actually turned me on to this app this week because it's new. Every.
Oh, isn't it cool?
Which is EVRI.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. Here's the thing. It's going to seem a lot like some news apps we've talked about in the past because it is. In fact, why aren't you... By the way, I've noticed that Every does this sometimes where it's
loading, probably.
Yeah, but it should not load...
So it's a news reader, but instead of reading your list of feeds, it checks what topics you're interested in.
Exactly. But that is pretty similar to something like a Zeit or a NewsMe as they get smarter.
It does seem like this is a crowded category.
It definitely is.
Okay,
so here we go. It's actually happened to me earlier. It's new, so maybe that's a bug that they still have yet to work out. So here's the deal. I have connected Every to my Twitter account. So if I go ahead and load my Twitter account, what it's loading is articles that other people I'm following on Twitter have liked. Or just posted in general. Like, here's an Instagram
So that's very
photo.
That's very Flipboard.
Very Flipboard-like. This is something that Om Malik... By the way, happy birthday, Om Malik. It's his birthday today.
Oh, I love Om.
Something that he had shared on Twitter. Now, here's what's interesting is that once I've loaded this article into Every, and I can go ahead and read it full screen if I want to, which is nice. That comes straight from Om's website.
Oh, that
but
looks nice, yeah.
Every tries to figure out, okay, well, you know what's sort of similar to what you're reading right now is maybe this Dennis Crowley from Foursquare, this, I don't know, interview, whatever it's going to be with him. If I was then interested in this topic, this is all topic, I could choose to follow the Dennis Crowley topic. So it's kind of like anytime he or Foursquare are mentioned, Every will go out of its way to serve up those articles, those interviews, those topics to me.
This is like SkyGrid too, for instance, I'm really interested in the Michael Jackson trial. I'm fixated.
Okay.
So I would follow that.
Yeah.
And now it's going to give me more stuff about this as more stuff comes in.
And that's actually a suggested topic because if you're loading this up for the first time and you're not sure what you're interested in, it gives you like some hot topics. Facebook works a lot like Twitter. Once you link your accounts together, these are articles that people that, you know, I love and care about are sharing on Facebook. But it's not just that. You can also just choose to follow topics like Leo's doing. I am following the Barack Obama topic, Netflix, Apple in general. I just showed you how to follow the Dennis Crowley topic. And once you open that up, then Every's going to serve up stories and content that has to do with that. And then we'll continually aim to broaden things with similar topics. Now, I think that this is a lot like a Zeit or a NewsMe. I really do. They have broad categories, like a particular technology category that then you can drill into, like, I would love to follow Twitter news. Okay, now I'm following that topic type thing, where you can just kind of stay in the broad tech. But it looks different. the design itself is different than anything I've seen before.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. I think it's really good looking. It's besides those couple of crashes that I've now had twice on startup, it's really snappy. This stuff opens quick. You can go ahead and read. You can save. You can choose to share. There's a variety of ways to share. It's kind of all the basics. And it's completely free. And I like it a lot. And I'm glad that you told me about it. I'm sort of a news junkie, so I like all of this stuff. I'm not saying that you're necessarily going to like every more than some of the other news readers that we've talked about in the past, but it definitely looks different. So if you don't like the look of something that you've been using, give this a try. It's free. You have nothing to lose.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
I do. And I thank you for telling me about it because I hadn't found it on my own.
It just came out. And so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting.
Hey, by the way, I want to. This cap is actually kind of special. It comes to me from a submariner, Mark Morgan. He's a lieutenant. He does communications.
Nice.
For a submarine group up in the Pacific Northwest. And what's funny is this is my hat size, 7 3/8.
Really?
Yeah. And it.
It's small.
I guess. Maybe, you know,
maybe
I think
shrunk in the mail.
When you're in pressure,
maybe
underwater, that maybe your head shrinks.
It's really cool.
I love this.
I love it, too.
I'm very happy.
Yeah,
with this.
That's awesome.
So thank you. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. And here is my pick. And this is something that, frankly, a lot of people, you tell me, wrote to us to ask us about. Mm-hmm. Another app that came out very recently called The Magic of Reality. Richard Dawkins is one of my favorite science writers of all time. He wrote some really interesting books like The Selfish Gene. This book is intended for children as a way to introduce them to scientific concepts. There's Richard talking, and neat ideas.
Through mythology.
So it's an interactive thing.
Reality, I have set out to show you what is myth and what is real, and to persuade you that the true magic is science.
Yeah.
I will show you.
Don't
that
you love? I mean, you just gotta love that, right?
Oh yeah,
there.
Absolutely.
Now Richard is quite a well known atheist. And you might worry that there's a little axe to grind here. No, don't worry, there isn't. But he is, like the amazing Randy and others, a skeptic and wants to make sure that we understand that Jesus did not walk with dinosaurs and that there some of the things that we might think are true or imagine are true are not. So this is all very interesting. I mean, this talk about an interesting book, Science and the Supernatural. You know, this kind of shocked me. There really was no Cinderella.
Oh, my.
So, I know.
No.
No.
Oh, come on.
Well, but also things.
I'm just supposed to fit my foot into the shoe, and then I live out. Oh, man.
Things like magicians and conjurers that seem real, but are not. This is, I think, a great book for probably kids starting at sixth grade through maybe ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
A younger kid, you could do this with them as a lap read. But I think a sixth grader would read this themselves. And get a lot out of this in terms of understanding.
It's awesome.
Yeah, isn't this nicely done?
Well, it's also
there. He is the amazing Randy.
Especially at a certain age where it's hard to get a kid to sit down and read something like this. It's obviously visual enough to keep their attention.
Yeah,
you've got video. You've got neat graphics.
It's a lot of text. It's very it's text heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Examine the length of your frog's legs.
Ooh.
Choose which will die by moving those you wish to breed to the next generation. This is teaching natural selection.
So there's like a game element.
Yeah, this is going to teach the Darwinian notion of natural selection. And I think a really amazing, let's see, I think we'll keep this one. That's too short. I think longer legs are probably better, don't you?
I don't know.
Oh, we gotta get
maybe they'll jump too high and the snakes will see them more often.
Kill those. Okay,
oh,
bye-bye.
Boy. Bye.
And now they're breeding. So what we're going to learn is how natural selection selects for certain genetic traits. I like that one. I am God here, just in case you were curious. And, yeah, I think those are the ones I want.
So this is $14, $13.99 app.
It's not cheap.
So if you're the kind of parent or teacher or, I don't know, kid who wants to buy this, keep that in mind. It's like buying a book.
Yeah, but a book that you can play with.
Right.
Yeah.
Playing with books. It's the future. You can't do that on a Kindle.
I think this is a very beautiful and very interesting
app.
App. That's the word I've been looking for. That's terrible.
I agree. Magic of Reality in the App Store and at magicofrealityapp.com if you want to read more about it.
Reality is pretty damn magical.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Who was the first person?
It also bites. And with that, we've come to the end of our show.
That's the reality. That's the reality of it, I got to say. Hey, thank you all for being here. We do this show about 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern every Thursday on Twit.tv, twit.tv, if you'd like to watch live. And, of course, get it after the fact. We do audio and video versions, but if you want to see Sarah's outfit, and it's always exciting, you probably want to get the video version.
I mean, you can't see Leo's cool hat. You don't know what Leo has in his pocket if you're not watching the video feed. Twit.tv/IPT is our web address. And until next week, I don't have a tagline.
We'll see you.
Do that. Yeah, we'll see you.